Welcome back to Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton, and I'm back again this week to host. Ashley Vance is a reporter at Bloomberg, and he's a New York Times best-selling author for his biography, titled Elon Musk and the Quest for a Fantastic Future. Mr. Vance has added several new chapters about the billionaire for a new paperback edition of the only official biography of Elon Musk. As a reminder, Mr. Musk is pushing to make electric cars mainstream via Tesla and to get the economy to a clean energy space via Solar City and to help us colonize Mars and make humans a multi-planet species via SpaceX. SpaceX is based in Los Angeles, where it employs thousands. Tesla makes cars in Fremont, again, thousands of paychecks. And there's a gigafactory going up in Nevada that is also creating thousands of domestic jobs. Now, remember, manufacturing jobs usually have multiplier effect. Those projects and a working relationship with fellow billionaire and early Trump supporter Peter Thiel helped Musk get a seat at the table for the Trump administration's economic policy planning. That involvement has rattled some other Silicon Valley types, but Musk maintains that a seat at the table will help him defend green and clean energy ideas. We get into that topic with Musk biographer Ashley Vance in this next segment, as well as the rapidly approaching world of daily flights to space by private companies. And coming up later in the show, we have someone who has proven you don't have to be a techie to launch an app. Really. She's going to walk us through the process. But first, our second segment of This Week in Elon Musk.
Well, I tried to update a lot of the stories. I mean, Elon is this perpetual ball of motion. And so by the time I had finished the book, he'd already concocted things like the space internet, which is this idea of surrounding the Earth with satellites and beaming the internet down. Some companies had started to actually pursue his Hyperloop plan, and there were big additions with Tesla and SpaceX as well. And then, you know, I put in some lengthy new chapters that really get into the politics of Elon in space, and that show, I would say, kind of how ruthless and tough he can be in this business. And so I broke some news, especially in the last chapter.
Very cool. Yeah, he is a litigious person, isn't he?
He is. He will, you know, he's gone after ex-employees, competitors, just about anyone. And yeah, it makes dealing with him a bit of a precarious situation.
Yeah, did your publisher have to have a rider on your contract if you were going to be the biographer of Elon Musk? I mean, I'm sure that's an exposure to risk for you and for the publisher.
To be totally honest, you know, we had pretty frank discussions about all this stuff going into it, that I knew there would be some pushback from Elon, kind of no matter what I wrote. And he's a guy who really, he cares a lot about his image and the way people see him. And I knew that I was interviewing hundreds of people and getting all this stuff on the record. And so I knew it would be a slog. And definitely since the book has come out, he's been upset about a few things in it. And we've had some pretty forceful conversations.
Wow. Okay. Can you share any of those, or are those probably under a non-disclosure?
No, I mean, it's basically just what, you know, I'm just sort of talking about. It's just him being really upset about the way, especially when the book first came out, the media really, there was a series of stories about what a hard guy he is to work for. And I think on a couple levels, he didn't like the way he kind of looked in some of that. And it also sort of could potentially hurt the companies with people deciding where they're going to work these days and if they wanted to go there. And so he just let me know that he was unhappy.
Okay, fair enough. And he does protect his image. he does it on all platforms at his disposal, including, you know, to Twitter, courts, phone calls to you, I'm sure, emails to you and your reps. But that kind of goes back a little bit, doesn't it? And I'm not trying to psychoanalyze somebody I've never met at all, but there seems to be a line from the way he was treated and the way he grew up as a child as to protecting himself and now protecting himself as a captain of industry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the book I get into it a lot that he was bullied as a kid really badly, too. I mean, there's one time he gets kicked down a flight of stairs by these kids and he ends up in hospital for about a week. He had a really tough home life with his dad, and there's a part of him, definitely, you know, he was this loner growing up, and nobody thought that much of him, and so he's been out to kind of prove himself since then, and I think without doubt there's some insecurities that came from his upbringing, and he's evolved a lot over the years. He's much more confident now than he was back in the PayPal days, and maybe some of this stuff doesn't bother him as much as it used to, but certainly bits of this linger in his personality.
You know, I asked you this question the first time we spoke when the book first came out. I'm going to ask it again, given your new reportage and the 2 years that, well, almost 2 years we've had between editions from the hardback to softback, which is now out, Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the quest for a fantastic future. Okay, so where in the pantheon of American business magnates can we put Elon Musk right now?
It's always a hard question to answer because he's like this weird work in progress. I think the fact that you see the entire automotive industry has swung towards electric cars. They're all modernizing the software in their vehicles, totally like Tesla does. In aerospace, SpaceX proved that private space companies could be a real thing, and it has kicked off. For people who don't follow this stuff, there's an amazing thing coming in the aerospace world. There's tons of new rocket companies. There's tons of new satellite companies. We're going to go from launching every month to almost every day. It is without question that he opened up both of these worlds. We would not be talking about electric cars or new space without him. And so even though he hasn't had a consumer hit on the order of like an iPhone yet, and we haven't seen the mainstream Tesla car, I mean, I give him a ton of credit for pushing these massive industries forward. And it's hard to find anyone else who's had an impact on finance, automotive, aerospace, energy, these such diverse industries. I think the story on him, at least in the public consciousness, will be told if Tesla can get that mainstream car out and if SpaceX can start landing its reusable rockets and reusing its reusable rockets all the time to lower the cost of getting into space. So it's tricky. He's a work in progress, but, you know, at 45 years of age, it would be hard to find anyone else who had done that much with their years.
That's for true. And you know what? If he gets into bioengineering, I'm convinced that he read the book Gattaca or saw the movie Gattaca, and he's trying to create that world. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
Well, I'm sure he did. I know what you're talking about. And if it has anything to do with science fiction, he has seen or read it, I can guarantee you. I get all these emails from people who are like, God, when is he going to cure cancer and do all this stuff? I mean, there's this feeling that if Elon gets into anything, he can sort of fix it, you know. But, I mean, he still talks about he wants to make, like, teleportation machines one day and all this stuff. So we'll see what the next, you know, 45 years, if he lasts that long, what they bring.
Right. Well, then he'll just start circling the globe in a hyperbaric chamber to extend his life. I think we saw that in another science fiction film.
Yeah.
And power to him if he can pull it off. We're speaking with Ashley Vance. He's an author and a biographer of Elon Musk. He also works at Bloomberg. And I have to say that I've been kind of sucked into your video series called Hello World. Tell me a little bit about that and how long it's been going on.
Yeah, so like the last year, really, I spent traveling the earth looking for the best scientists and inventors, and or at least if not the best, the quirkiest people along the way. And so if anyone's seen like Anthony Bourdain or that type of show, which tends to usually focus on food, I basically go from country to country finding inventors. And it was a lot of fun. We went to all kinds of places last year, Russia, Chile, Japan, Iceland, all over. And each episode looks at the technology in a different country. And I try to explain how their twist on technology is tied to the culture and maybe different from place to place.
Right on. It's called Hello World. It's on YouTube. You have 500,000 subscribers. And I just watched the one about the machine that pulls drinking water out of thin air. We're trying to cover a little more clean water here on Techonomics as just a running theme. Tell me a little bit more about that real quick before I let you go. What was that one like?
Absolutely. That inventor, he was in Chile. He had a daughter who was suffering from a really troubling disease where she couldn't drink the local water. And so he invents this machine. It pulls the humidity out of the air and filters it. And you get this really pure cup of drinking water. And so not only is his daughter better now, she's 18 and in perfect health, but they're using it all throughout the desert in Chile to bring water from nothing.
Right. It's fascinating. Wonderful videos. Ashley Vance, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
That was Ashley Vance, the best-selling author of Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and The Quest for a Fantastic Future. We have a link to Mr. Vance's book and his YouTube channel at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. Coming up, we have an entrepreneur who has taken her first site's success and then launched a second site to help non-technical people do something techie, like make an app from scratch.
I eventually did a TEDx talk in Detroit about my experience. And through that and my blog, I reached a point where there were so many emails in my inbox from other non-technical folks saying, hey, I have an idea for a startup or an app. How do I do it? How do I build it? I see that you've done this. And at a certain point, I had so many of those emails that it really made sense for me to start servicing those folks in my email inbox in a different kind of way.
That's Tara Reed, and she started her first business after working at Google and Microsoft, and she never learned how to code. And if you've ever seen an app and thought to yourself, well, heck, I could have thought of that, well, Tara's new site is right for you. That's coming up next, so we hope you'll stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.